Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by the supporters of patreon.com/DanLessac. And if you enjoy this podcast, you should consider becoming a supporter of patreon.com/DanLessac. This will not be the last time you hear the phrase patreon.com/DanLessac in this podcast. Enjoy!
Hello, hello, how are you? Trying to keep it down a bit, guys. I've got a headache. And I didn't want to buy up all the painkillers because people actually need them right now. So I put some deep heat on my head, some heat rub. And it's not helping in any way. In fact, I think it's making it worse, which is good. May have to go shower that off. But welcome back, episode 31 of Falling Forward with Dan Lessac. That's me, Dan Lessac. And this is our 1 year anniversary. Look at that. We've been doing this a year. Who thought we'd make it this far? I sort of say that every week, but you know, I'm always surprised. I'm always surprised that people come back and listen to this. Me yabbering. But enough yabbering. This week's guest is the delightful Kurt J. Mack, YouTuber, Twitch streamer, podcaster, really. His YouTube channel is essentially a podcast, but whatever you call him. We can all agree he's a delight. Very lovely man, has raised a huge amount of money for charity and has been entertaining people solidly for the last decade. He's going to tell you about himself when I ask him questions in a minute, so I won't ramble on. I hope everyone's looking after themselves, and if you are locked down or anything, you've got adequate amounts of entertainment, toilet roll and pornography, if you're into toilet roll, that is. And yeah, just generally look after yourselves, look after each other. Ooh, also, this one was the first time I've ever recorded one remotely, a distance, thousands of miles in fact, so it will sound a little bit different. Andrea has already said it actually sounds better, which is kind of appalling to me. It's meant to sound worse, you know, doing it over the internet, but apparently it sounds far better. We could go into it if you wanted. It's all about the separation of the mics and stuff. I could do a whole podcast about mic placement, but I'm not going to. I should just get out of the way, really. Why are these intros so long? They don't need to be. If you want to check Kurt out elsewhere, on Twitch, he's Kurt J. Mack. No K on Mack. You don't need the K, it's M-A-C. Twitter is Kurt J. Mack. YouTube is Kurt J. Mack. Or you can search Farlands or Bust. Instagram is Kurt Indeed. Patreon is Kurt J. Mack, I think. You'll have to Google that. Hey, just Google him. And you know where I am. I'm all the places as Dan Lessac. Especially Bandcamp and Patreon. Not because they're the places you can give me money and provide support for my musical and podcast endeavours. No, just because they're two websites I like. Anyway, I'll get out of the way, enjoy this one, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
The music on this podcast can be found at danlessac.bandcamp.com. And if you were to purchase some of the ambient twerks or trip-hop bangers from danlesac.bandcamp.com, you'd be directly supporting this podcast. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you good to go? Is there anything you need to get off your chest? Any rants before we start?
I have no rants.
None. Just none. Okay, that's
none
good.
None whatsoever.
That's a good amount of rants to have, to be fair, in this day and age. Right, let's do it. So, who are you?
I am Kurt J. Mack. Man, it's hard to define what I am more than who I am.
Human.
A human, yep, human, of Earth.
Excellent. Of Earth, an Earth human. Wow.
Yes, those rare Earth humans. a YouTuber, Twitch streamer, the much-hated term content creator.
Could you ever be considered to be a influencer?
Oh, that's even worse. That's even worse to me. And honestly, I don't think I'd do any of that. I'm not much for the brand deals or the, influencing.
I think most Twitch streamers, YouTubers have influence, but that's not the reason they're doing it. I think influencer as a term is like, I'm going to sell your product for you, whereas we accidentally influence people, usually to turn off the podcast.
Yeah, that could be something. So yeah, it is nothing wrong with that, of course. I have plenty of friends and colleagues who probably are more influencage.
Some of my best friends are influencers. Yeah, there is nothing wrong with that. But it's funny how that term has become quite negative now. And I think maybe it's because it's sort of saying the quiet bit loud, you know.
Mm.
We all like to think that we're doing something more than selling a thing for somebody else.
Right. That is something that could feel ingenuine, I suppose. We all want to appear genuine and kind of portray the most genuine parts of ourselves. So when it doesn't, when that comes into question, it does kind of raise an eyebrow, and maybe some people might poo-poo that or be a little bit stink-eyed towards that. But I think myself, it's less of a conscious choice to not be directly an influencer, and more of just I'm not good at that either like making those connections with those hashtag brands or whatever, or just kind of breaking into that world.
You talk about being genuine. We'll probably get into FLOB more deeply in a minute, but that's something that you do on, well, I suppose we should get into it now because people won't know what we're talking about. So Farlands or Bust is your YouTube series you've been doing since what, 2011?
Correct, 2011.
And we'll get into the details of it in a minute, but every week, new episode. And it's you playing Minecraft and just talking. And
part of the success of that series is the fact that you will talk about anything that's on your mind in the world and be genuine about it. If you were, I can't imagine that show running for as long as it has if you were trying to sell something, even if you were trying to sell a personality that isn't you, being a rate, comment, or subscribe type YouTuber.
Right.
Is it hard to be as honest as you are on that every single week?
It can be. it's certainly it's hard to run. It's hard to come up with new things to be honest about. Even after 9 years, there's a lot of repeating yourself, or it feels a little bit like you know, the people who have been with me for, there's people who have been watching and following for the whole 9 years, and it blows my mind because they're like, oh, I was in high school and now I'm graduated college and you're still going in this Farlands or Bus series. And that's just like, I feel old, but that's also just wild, a wild concept to me.
Yeah. Like growing up, your audience going from that point of, you know, by the time you're done, you're going to have people who were in high school and now have children, you know?
Right.
If you're ever done, does it ever end?
Man, that's the big question, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, I'm not, it's the catchphrase, the tagline is, oh, it's not about the destination, it's the journey. Which is something I think the fans more came up with than myself. But that
you
is
just
kind of
get
true.
There. You just want to, are we there
yet? No, yet. Oh, I just want to be done as soon as possibly can. Be done with this.
It's been 9 years, guys.
Yeah, come on. So yeah, it is less about the speed, I suppose. It is possible I've said this many times, I might never reach the destination. I might never reach the goal. And that's fine by me. Honestly, at this point, it might be a little bit anticlimactic.
It could be, yeah.
Right. But that's something I don't even think about. It's just a day-to-day thing. And this is a new thing we're seeing. This is a new question I'm being asked. This is a thing maybe we've seen before or talked about many times before, but there's new people watching. So, yeah, it's something I personally don't maybe even fully understand the longevity of and the audience's interest in. Nine years.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. And it's just one of those things that just sort of happened. I didn't even, when I started, like with Farlands or Busts, we haven't really introduced it, walking to the edge of the Minecraft world.
Yeah.
Impossible. I didn't even know. It was really impossible when I started. And it was just a hobby at the beginning. I saw people doing Let's Plays on YouTube. I was kind of in a weird spot of my own life where I didn't like the job I was in. I was looking for kind of outlets and things like that. And so I started my own, just for fun, YouTube channel. Play some video games, play some Minecraft, was easy enough. And came up with the idea, oh, hey, you know, somebody talked about the edge of the map. So I'm like, that seems neat. That seems something I could try to do. Was it going to take a couple months, you know? So it was just kind of not a means to an end, but a means for me to keep doing the YouTube thing, to keep making videos. And that really caught on. And that's what took me by surprise, I suppose.
That's kind of interesting. Like, you were approaching it as a thing to do more than this grandiose goal. That you were interviewed on Radio 4 over here, which is a very pretentious middle-class radio station, BBC Radio 4. And they do make leaps. And the way the host described it is that you were searching for the edges of the developer's imagination. In essence, you were searching for the creator. and all this. And I was just like, that's some big, you're searching for God there. That's huge. But it's nice to know that you were, I just wanted a thing to do. I didn't want to have to think about what I was going to do before I made a video.
Right. It was the whole Forrest Gump, you know, I just like running. And it was almost a, not an afterthought. I mean, I kind of realized I didn't see anybody else doing it. So I guess there was a little bit of, I don't know what to call that, entrepreneurial spirit, being like, oh, I could be unique by doing this. But once it started gaining traction like that and interest, then I'm like, oh, I should probably think about this seriously, huh?
Mm. We haven't quite said what Farlands is. So my understanding of it is, in the version of Minecraft you're playing, because nowadays what you're doing has been patched out, basically, mm-hmm. as you got further from the central point, from the very first point you spawn on a map, the code, the algorithm that generates the world, basically goes wrong. As mm-hmm. that's a fairly good grasp
of, right?
And you're trying to get there on foot. People have gone there, but they've only gone there by breaking the code of the game to teleport themselves there.
Right. They've either teleported themselves or...
Dirty cheaters.
Dirty cheaters. They haven't earned it. It's because the world of Minecraft is procedurally generated. So there's a lot of numbers and code and math that even I don't understand that goes into that. And yeah, eventually the numbers of the coordinates of how far you are from that 0-0 center of the map get so big that the way it calculates it goes wrong. And instead of your Minecraft world that you're used to seeing, it creates, you know, the upside down, basically, these giant walls and, you know, water in the sky and, I heard this was a glitch, so I'm like, that seemed like something neat to see.
It's kind of a cool metaphor for life in a way. Like, the further away you get from the point you started, how dramatically different your world looks to where it did before. See, we can make it sound far more pretentious than it really is if we want.
Yeah, we can go that the BBC4 way. We're searching for God.
That radio station is like, I suppose, kind of PBS, but more, you know, there's lots of dramatizations of books about the IRA and all that. It's and documentaries, but then there's the longest running radio sitcom called The Archers, which is just like this farming village. So I say sitcom, I mean soap opera. It's just a 15-minute soap opera about this farming village. It's very odd radio to listen to. It's very every 15 minutes, its topic changes dramatically. And like toward the end of the day, you have gardener's question time, where it's just gardeners having a chat about what to do with their herbaceous borders and stuff. It's like,
interesting.
It's the weirdest. I don't know, because I listen to music radio. It's just music all day. And it's every few hours, the voice saying, hey, and next we're going to play changes. Whereas Radio 4 just goes through every different possible iteration of what they think is interesting over the course of a day. It's good.
Okay.
It's good.
A little bit like NPR here.
But NPR always feels a bit more in depth. You know, I don't know. Yeah, NPR definitely does a bit more politics than Radio 4 does.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah, that's something I certainly remember. And even like when we were chatting about this, I said, man, I haven't done quote unquote interviews in a while. I remember that BBC one, whoever was interviewing me kept asking if I was all right. I'm like, I'm just nervous. This is kind of weird. I don't know how big a deal or little a deal this is. And similarly,
big deal,
huge New Yorker, huge deal. It was huge. I was everywhere.
I reckon, cause you say you did one for the New Yorker. I would have thought it's probably up there, similar sort of size.
Yeah, and that's honestly the one that kind of started it all, was this New Yorker Online article they wrote, and then all the web, you know, gaming blogs picked up on it. Your Polygons, or what's the
Kotaku?
Kotaku, that's the one that took my website down because there was then too much traffic going to it. And then the whole Guinness World Records thing, where they did all photo shoot and spread in the Guinness Gaming Edition. Like I said, I'm not good. I don't find myself fitting into the puzzle piece of an influencer. I also, and similarly, it's a weird. I guess I'm genuine in my content, but I disconnect myself from it, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I Kurt, don't want to be famous. I want my content to be famous.
Mm.
So there's a little bit of a separation there. I can't remember who said that. I think it was Nerd Cubed.
Mm-hmm.
Is another gaming YouTuber. He early on had a fan show up at his door, just out of nowhere, and he's like completely freaked out about that. I remember he made a video being like, "This is not okay," and that's one of the lines he said that stuck with me. He's like, "I don't want to be famous. I don't want you guys to want me. I want my content, my videos to be famous, my comedy to be famous." And that really struck a chord with me as a similar thing, because it's a scary place out there for someone like myself, who's a little bit more introverted and anxious about things.
You're in America as well, so the fan can turn up with a weapon.
That too.
A legally purchased weapon as well.
Right.
We have to do our crimes illegally, where you do your crimes legally. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. the legal crimes, the right to do a crime.
To do a crime that everyone else thinks is a crime.
Yes. that's just a weird. And it's possible I overreact, and it's possible I've never run into any situation where I felt like I was in harm or anything like that. But
there's a difference though between you're walking around your town and someone goes, "Hey, it's you," and someone knocking on your door. You know?
Oh yeah, I've had people like see me walking my dog, and they would post on say an Instagram. And say, "Oh, I saw you on this street walking your dog, I think." And I have to delete their comment because I'm like, "Hey, that's great. You should have said hello, but maybe not also like put my address in one of my Instagram comments."
I think I saw you in your living room at... Was that you? Is this your address? So you mentioned the world record. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a big part of what you're doing with Farlands or Bust is... you've been running it for charity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what do you know what the total is so far in this 9 years?
Overall, I started my series and my YouTube in March of 2011, and then started
correct.
To gain traction.
I wrote that
once
down. That's yeah, correct. Once I, well done.
I got it. A+. I did, it started to gain traction once I started doing the walking to the Farlands thing. And that was kind of a point where I'm like, "Oh, I better start taking this more seriously." And again, I don't want to be famous. You know, YouTube millionaires weren't really a thing back in 2011 yet. That wasn't quite a thing. So it wasn't like that was a goal of mine. So I'm
although
like, how
to
can
us, nine years feels like a long time ago. It's not really that long ago.
No, I know.
Like, yeah. The scale of internet celebrity has gone insane in this last decade.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
In good ways and bad ways, but it's...
Right. Yeah, it's something to be with from the beginning is a bit to see how the platforms and the audience and just the general perception changes around everything. And that was even before I started making any money myself on. I'm like, I needed to deflect some of this attention away from myself and towards something else, or maybe was trying to find some way to do good with the attention that I was getting. So I started in June of that year to raise money for charities, raise money for Child's Play Charity, which is a penny arcade. They do all the PAX gaming conventions and things like that. That's one of their charities. I did direct relief, and this year I'm doing an animal rescue here locally in Seattle. And I think in total across in total, I think I'm at about $450,000
raised. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
That's a huge amount of money for playing a video game on the internet.
Right, and just people being interested enough in me continuing, because that's kind of, I don't know if I would have continued as far as I have without some sort of additional incentive, like the charity, the fundraiser thing. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. I'm not sure.
Does the charity add pressure, or is it a relief? Like, is knowing it's doing good make it easier to do, or is there that, well, I have to do this now because I have to help these people? Well, have to help these dogs now.
Yeah, these animals have to. Yeah. I think that comes and goes. There certainly have been times where it's been like, yeah, this is great. This is, you know, keeping me motivated. And then there's been times where maybe I personally wasn't so motivated, but I don't want to let people down. These people are being very generous. They're expecting maybe not even something in return, but something, some feedback on that. So yeah, that ebbs and flows, I think, depending on where I'm at creatively or in my life or something like that. But it certainly, I mean, overall it's helped, definitely. Mm.
It's really interesting because a lot of people who create, whether it be Twitch or YouTube, who you get into a schedule, you have to have, like, the way the algorithm works kind of encourages you to have a routine and do a thing same time each week or same time each day for some people. And it is interesting that you are being creative, whether, I know you're sitting there playing a game and talking, but you are still having to engage that creative part of your brain. And if you're not happy, if there is stuff outside your life going on, you can't take a day off because you feel like, well, we're going to lose all that momentum. And then it's really strange, kind of, it's like low grade radiation of pressure. It's not like the biggest pressure in the world. You can take the day off, but it's just always going to be there in the back of your brain that I should be doing this.
Right.
It's kind of the worst of the pressures, because those big, stressful, I've got a deadline, this has to happen, or people die. Maybe not that excessive. At least you can put everything in and get it done, whereas these sort of smaller things weigh on you a little more.
Like I've done, like you said, like, oh, you have to do this thing at a deadline and then it's over. This just has to be a continual, like you said, the low grade radiation, or just like a continual push with, you know, just to keep the train moving, or else, you know, you can't, like you said, you can take a day off, but you'll see the next time you're on, the numbers will be smaller, or interest will be less, or something like that. It is a weird, whether or not it be YouTube or Twitch, you see a lot of the platforms now, oh, make sure you take breaks and take vacations, but the platform will still punish you if you do, whether or not that is the powers that be, that's not their intention. That's just part of, like you said, the algorithm, the community, the kind of fleeting kind of fickleness of an online audience at anything, really, I suppose, any platform.
I think there's a certain element of it's a bit like going to the store and they're out of stock of your favorite brand of bread, so you have to buy a different bread, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, this bread's really nice. Why have I not been having this bread the whole time as well? I think the way that algorithm works is if there's a gap on the shelf, it will fill it with something similar and hope you pick that up instead.
Right.
These analogies today.
You're on fire.
On fire. So where are you at now episodes wise with Flop? 777?
Yeah, I'm just about to publish 777. Just recorded that one.
Did you do anything special for all the sevens?
I did not. You know, no. after 700 episodes, and you kind of run out of these anniversary sort of special things to do per episode.
Did you do one for 666, though?
I think I did.
You made something.
I can't remember what I did, but probably. I must have done something. What's that?
You probably made something demonic.
I think so. I think I did make a big, like, flaming lava 666 on the ground. I'm pretty sure now is that's what I did. Even though I'm never, you know, that's kind of one of the things about the series and the fact that I'm just walking in one direction and the game is procedurally generated is I'll do these things and I'll continue walking and I might have built this monument or thing and I'll never see it again. It's just we'll have to remember it in the video and that's it.
It's really interesting that you're never walking back. You're not trying to meet a distance requirement. You are literally walking west and only west. That's that's all you're doing. And I find it funny because I don't think I could have made the choice between east and west or north and south. How did you come to the choice of west?
I think it was just, again, back when I started, I'm like, it'll just take a few months or whatever. Maybe it'll last me to the end of the year to get to the far lands. I didn't do any research about it. My excuse was like, that's where the sun sets. I'll make sure I'm going the right way.
Yeah, that's actually nice.
Following the sunset. Yeah,
okay. The sun, you're racing the sun. It's cute.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was not a big decision.
Well, you ruined it. Basically, I wanted it to be like you'd spent weeks researching and getting in there and really
researching the great explorers of history and which direction they set off on their grand adventures. No,
I do find it interesting, like with any decision, when somebody else asks you about that decision and you don't have a good enough answer for them, even though you're giving them like a truthful answer, like why did you name your album that or whatever, and it's like you don't want to, but sometimes you just shrug and go, oh yeah, it just sounded good, it has no meaning or depth. It's something I've found as well, that I've over the years like started making up answers that aren't true, but it just like, if someone asked me how I met Pip, it was like, neither of us can remember, basically. We did go to the same college briefly, kind of, and maybe we met at work, but it's all very like, we were just in a Venn diagram of a lot of people in our area, so we don't have like a cool story. But eventually you start saying things, well, like, yeah, so my mum was in hospital at the same time as his mum and we met in the waiting. You just start making stuff up because people want some bigger, greater answer than it just seemed like a good thing to do, I suppose.
Right. Like we were in proximity to each other, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we were just about. A few years ago now, started a Twitch channel as well. What was the thinking behind that? Was that just a, not in a grubby way, but was that a financial decision?
Maybe a little bit financial. I've had my Twitch channel for quite a while, but I never, I started on YouTube. I was kind of ingrained in the YouTube kind of system of recording and uploading and, you know, making episodes of things. So I've had my Twitch. I remember back when, to be a partner, you were actually a partner with Justin TV in order to get ad revenue with that. But yeah, it's only been a couple of years since I started. I kind of made a switch to do the Twitch full time. So that was kind of financial, kind of because YouTube has not been too
yeah,
friendly of a place to be, both community-wise and monetarily-wise. And it was just sort of, I felt that was definitely the way a lot of my friends were going. And it has certainly worked out in that favor, definitely.
Yeah, because I suppose Mindcrack, is that right?
Mindcrack,
correct. Mindcrack. obviously, a lot of that community are on Twitch as well. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really interesting how Minecraft as a game has built these huge communities, like overlapping people who are now kind of lifelong friends somehow just coming together around the game, which
right, and that's how, like, the Mindcrack is just we started as YouTubers who wanted to play Minecraft, and we had a server together, and we were making videos together on this Minecraft server, and it eventually, like, became a bigger thing than I think it started as. And I'm sure this is the same for these other communities or groups of gamers or whatever came about, to the point where when we invite somebody new, it became a huge deal. Like, oh, this is, they're, it's like they've been signed to, a new team, or, they've been drafted. Over 9 years, 9+ years, things definitely change, and we really no longer play on that server or together in Minecraft anymore, but we have stuck together and we'll do stuff and hang out and do charity events and things, just kind of more casually. It's not such a big official thing, but yeah, we just get together as more casual than a big official.
Mm.
This is Mindcrack Incorporated. You know, it was never the sort of thing that, say, like Rooster Teeth is, or Funhouse, or those other
gaming. Listeners who don't know, Rooster Teeth is an insanely big company at this point that came up through a group of YouTubers making content together. I think Rooster Teeth's now owned by, like, Viacom or one of those huge global conglomerates. It blows my mind. I think when you were talking then, I was thinking about when I was sitting there at 14 playing Ultima 6 on my Sega Master System, how not only could I not conceive of a video website, I couldn't even conceive of the concept of people making videos of video games and that being a job. We've come on so far, and we got, as a treat, PewDiePie, which is not a treat.
No, I agree. Not a treat, indeed.
We were getting there. We had this great idea. It was going well, and then, PewDiePie. Damn it.
Oh, we've dropped the ball.
Erase everything. Start again. Let's start from year zero again. Let's see if we come out differently.
And that is I find myself in, if not an interesting spot, but certainly a different spot. Like, yeah, the PewDiePies, the ninjas, these multimillionaire streamers or gamers or whatever are the ones who get all the attention and the press, bad or good, and usually bad, it seems.
Ninja, I find fascinating because he comes across in this very family-friendly way, but he's so grumpy. He's not like Co-Carnage. I was about to call him Twitch streamer Co-Carnage, but you know who he is. But I think I was saying that for the listeners. But like Co-Carnage is just purely family friendly the whole time and engaging in that way. But it always surprises me, like, how Ninja's personality has carried him to that point where tens of thousands of people want to sit there and watch him all day. It is beyond me.
Yeah, it is beyond me as well. To the point where it feels like almost a separate it's the same industry, but it seems completely separate.
I think the same thing happens in music. You know, you've got Aphex Twin all the way over there making bleeps mm-hmm. and bloops in his Cornish cottage or whatever, and you've got, I don't know, like Deadmau5. They're essentially in the same-ish genre of electronic music, but obviously they have no relationship to each other genetically, I suppose.
Right, different evolutionary branches of the same species or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's similar on Twitch or YouTube or whatever. Is there's the big popular millionaire moneymakers, and congratulations to them. You know, there's many more than just PewDiePie or Ninja or whatever. But then I feel like myself and a lot of my friends, we're just like, we're making livable wage, and you know, this is just our job, and we're not getting these crazy endorsements, we're not going on wild adventures in our supercars, but we're just working a job. And I feel sometimes, not that I feel like I want or deserve more than that, but it's sometimes the platforms forget, I suppose, about the kind of just the worker bees here, kind of just working with our small audiences and communities who are supporting us and keeping us going. But yeah, it's kind of a weird dichotomy between the two worlds,
which is the Spotify model of things as well. Yeah, nah, we're not going to support you. We're just going to make money. It's fine. We're happy. You mentioned cars. I've noticed your Instagram content has shifted to Toyota Corollas. Was it Toyota?
It is a Toyota Corolla. I've always liked cars. I'm sure it's been many topics on the Farland series, and talk about a lot, played a lot of racing video games and things like that. But as part of doing this YouTube thing, I have met and become friends with some people who are much more into the car scene, and I've always wanted an older car, or a fun car, classic car, and ended up a couple years ago buying a 77 Corolla, Toyota Corolla, which is an odd choice.
It's a yellow one. I know a lot about cars, so it's a yellow one.
It is a yellow one.
And it's got all four wheels.
It does, thankfully. So that's been kind of a fun thing to take the viewers along kind of with the ride. And I even, over the summer, I bought a 96 Subaru SVX, which is just a weird kind of mid-90s, you know, Subaru tried to make a sports car sort of thing. Ended up selling it a couple months ago, but just, yeah, it's kind of, that's part of, I think,
and you're
sharing.
You're fixing these, restoring, is that the right word? I don't know what the right word is, but you're putting some work into them. That might not be the right word.
Yeah, I'm buying them, and maybe they haven't been cared for, or maybe it's got a broken radiator. So yeah, I guess I'm not huge on restore. I'm just learning, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge gearhead or anything like that. So when something breaks, I got to Google it and buy whatever part off eBay and fix it or whatever. But yeah, it's just a little interesting kind of side of my personality and interests. And, you know, I've started a podcast with some friends where we end up just looking through used car ads online and making fun of them and finding the weirdest and kind of the most broken cars we can to poke fun. So that's been fun as well. And yeah, it's just part of it's one of those things where certainly as a content creator, like, do you want to monetize every hobby and every aspect of your life?
Yeah.
You know, video games is now a job. Do I want to do that? You know, do I want to include the car hobby? Do I want to include hiking, do hiking vlogs? I like hiking and stuff like that. Do I want to include astronomy? You know, it's a weird balance.
The reason I went to the car was to ask, is part of that catharsis? Is it like of getting away from being in front of the computer for work, doing something a bit more with your hands, a bit more in the real world? So it's kind of interesting that you bring up that.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's always been. I've always, I think, tended towards, you know, working with my hands or being outdoors, going for a drive. I mean, I even, you know, heck, even dealing with games and computers, I like building my own computers. And so, yeah, there is an aspect, I think, to that, to kind of step away from the screen.
When I got this PC, I hated it, the whole process. Like, because the information on how to build a PC, like the physical building it parts, fine, that information's mm-hmm. there and easy. But the buying of components, like, because it's either the most for beginners guide, which doesn't really tell you enough, or it's the most ridiculously deep tech thing. And it's like, there's no middle ground for, like, I know a bit, just guide me through this. And
right.
And then if you ask the internet, like, hey, I'm looking at this as my build for my PC, like on PC Part Picker or whatever, and you share that, oh my god, it was like hundreds of tweets, like, oh no, you got to get this, oh well, that's wrong, like, oh god.
Right, yeah, why aren't you looking at this AMD instead of Intel? Why? Yeah.
I don't know. Instead of asking me why, tell me why exactly. I should be looking at that.
Like, it's the same way with the car stuff too. If you, oh, this carburetor is doing this, oh, you shouldn't have that. It should, you know, you should have this fuel pump, or you should, you know, it's very difficult to find a straight answer with a lot of that stuff.
I think British people can kind of relate to that as a nation, but regards Brexit. Everyone had an idea. Everyone knew. No, you shouldn't do it like that. You should do it like this. And no one knows. No one really knows. I think a lot of us just like to sound like we know.
Very true. And the internet allows for you to sound like you know with a very loud voice.
Oh, God,
regardless of what platform or forum you're posting to, which can drown out the conversation pretty easily.
I'm really, so Twitter is my just splurge place. It's my place where I will just say stuff. And, but I still have to, I see things every day that I want to respond to. Like, I know something about that. I want to put my 10 pence in about it. But 9 times out of 10, it's just not worth the effort. It's not worth the keystrokes. To write your slamming hot take about that subject,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's a very popular XKCD comment, comic, where, what are you doing? Somebody's wrong on the internet. I must. Like superhero. I feel like those of us who maybe have been around long enough are starting to take the same approach as you, where it's like, that's not worth it. Like, I don't, this person or this opinion or whatever doesn't affect me in any way.
It's interesting. I was talking to one of someone I met through Twitch, actually, just a viewer, but someone I play Animal Crossing with last night. Mm. And another Twitch streamer, won't say who, went off on a marketing woman over her using the word influencer, and he like brought in his basically massive audience on Twitter to just angry at this one word. And it was like, dude, just calm down. She's actually doing her job and using that term correctly, whereas you're just piling on her when you didn't need to. You could have talked about Dark Souls or whatever game you like, but instead you're angry. You don't need to be angry on the internet as much as we are, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree. You put that on a t-shirt.
What? I agree. Yeah, no, definitely.
Yes, I agree. That's it.
Talking about angry on the internet, having spent so much time with Minecraft, which was created by Notch. Obviously, Notch has maybe gone a little awry online with some of the things he said. A lot. 99% of what he said in the last few years. But does that have an effect on when you're picking something to play or do? Does Minecraft in particular, because it's always going to be his creation, even though he's not involved anymore, do you have to pause for thought over that? Or do you just accept that the audience understand the separation between the creator and the creation?
It's hard. I don't know that there's any instance as obvious as the Minecraft and what has become of Notch, I suppose we could say. I guess most of us, but I particularly have separated that myself, and I think a lot of the viewers understand. And honestly, a lot of the newer, like the younger generation who are getting into Minecraft have missed all that. They're in the Microsoft era of Minecraft.
Yeah. So, listeners, if you don't know Notch, just imagine someone who spent a lot of time in their house coding as their hobby, and then somehow got given billions of dollars and access to cocaine. And has a Twitter.
Yes, and has a Twitter. I found it funny. Somebody said that similar to what's becoming of Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX, is they're saying Elon Musk is the Notch of electric cars.
I can see the way
he treats his Twitter. Yeah. I've met Notch a couple times at conventions, and he I doubt he does still, but he used to watch Farlands or Bust, and he gave to the charity a couple times. And that's all in the past, and that's all great and good.
I used to watch him play Factorio.
Probably.
Yeah. And just him playing and just chatting, listening to music, he seemed like a genuinely pleasant dude. And then you go on his Twitter, and it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. It might be he... Whereas we're like, that's not worth it to make that argument. That's not worth the keystrokes. He apparently still finds it very worth it to take on everything.
Maybe he's dictating. That saves the keystrokes. He's using the dictation app on his phone. Every single day my phone tries to make me dictate something while I'm typing. And it always makes me angry. No, phone, I don't want to say these words aloud.
That's weird. That is not the future I wish to live in.
Yeah, I'm just trying to text a fart joke to Andrea. Come on. Don't make my neighbors hear it while I type it. So what's next for Kurt J. Mack? We didn't even mention the apocalypse that we're living through right now, but...
True. There's that whole thing.
That's definitely a thing. Is there any, obviously, because you're streaming, are you noticing more people being about, or is it no change?
I talked about this on my stream yesterday, where everybody who maybe doesn't already work from home, it's been a major, major shift in their lives. For myself, it doesn't seem, because I didn't go to an office, I didn't go out. So maybe I have seen a little bit more viewers, I suppose, more people who might have, names I recognize, regular viewers, but maybe they're at home now. So they're actually in the chat when they normally wouldn't be. So a little bit, I think. And it is one of those tough topics that I didn't even know here if we wanted to breach, because I do have some friends who are streamers who are like, I want to be an escape from that for my fans. I don't want to talk about that, as opposed to some other people who make it their, they go over the latest headlines, which might be a little bit exhausting.
Well, if you're from my personal experience, that if you want to do well, aiming to be the escape is the safer path than being the outlet. like, I was doing well on Twitch up until Brexit, and then it hit me emotionally quite hard, so my content changed a little. And then, you know, it's such a divisive issue that the people who disagreed with me were pushed away. But even the people who agreed with me were like, yeah, I just don't want to think about this, Dan. Can you just die at Super Meat Boy over and over again, please? You know, so, like, definitely, I can totally see why people would want to avoid it. And,
right.
And if you're putting on Netflix, you're not watching, you know, Daredevil go on about washing your hands. So it does make sense.
True. Very true.
Although they probably have now edited in Daredevil washing his hands after every fight. Because, you know, it's in the blood as well.
Got to stay topical.
Got to stay topical. Got to. It is interesting for you to have, back to Flob, done the same thing for 9 years when you're in an ecosystem that is constantly evolving. It's actually kind of nice that someone can do the same thing for that long and still have an audience and still have success doing it, instead of a lot of people who will chase a trend and, oh, this is popular now. Oh, doing React videos is popular now. Oh, I've got an Eat a Tide Pod. Excellent. Right, let's do that today.
Yeah, it is. As perhaps comforting as it is for viewers, that's comforting for me. I'm not much of a thrill seeker or, like you said, trend follower. I'm a creature of habit, so this has been a very, I suppose, familiar habit to continue for so long, and even both, you know, culturally, platforms wise, world news has changed over 9 years. My own life, I've moved multiple states. I've had some significant personal, life changes and relationships and things like that. Some of that I've been genuine, like you said, with my audience about. Some of that I keep for myself still. But to have a constant that still evolves, I definitely can tell a difference between, you know, 9 years ago, my voice, I suppose, my comfort level with doing this sort of thing versus now. There's certainly an evolution there, but yeah, it is a little bit of a comfort thing, a constant to kind of keep up with.
It is really I know I sound a bit like an old man when I talk about the internet, but just the evolution, how fast everything has come about, how it's not overnight, but how if you are 15 years old on this very day, chances are you'll be doing a job that a lot of people don't even know exists yet. And that's like mind-blowing to me. But at the same time, it's rad as well. It's like genuinely hope I get another 30 years on Earth just so I can see where we end up.
Exactly. And that's one of the things if I've done conventions or whatever, the kids who are there for Minecraft, you know, it's very kid-oriented right now. And the 9-10 year old kids who are like, oh, you know, how do I become a YouTuber? How do I become a Twitch streamer? And I'm like, you're 9 or 10 in 8 years. Who knows what there's going to be? I would say don't aim for this. Maybe, you know, keep on your toes, keep up with, you know, technology and education and whatever. But when I was 9-10, as you were just saying, this didn't exist. There was no way to predict it. I mean, I suppose if you could have predicted it, you would have created it, and then you know.
Yeah, I got asked the other day, and genuinely, what MySpace was, and that blew my mind. Like how we've moved. That was a big thing. So yeah, you cannot tell where we're gonna be in a few years' time. You think about like TikTok. TikTok didn't exist. Well, it sort of existed a couple of years ago as Musical.ly, but, you know, in its current form has only existed, 18 months, 2 years, yet it's like the biggest thing out there.
Right, and that's Amazon one of the things that even exist. It doesn't exist. I mean, exists, but I that's something I've not delved into. There's a lot that I've just not had the mental space.
Mm.
I'm like, I've seen some funny TikToks, but I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I embrace people posting other people's TikToks on Twitter. Right. That's where I am. Am I going to download the app? No.
Right.
Because you know within a week I'll be posting stupid TikToks and people going, what the hell's Dan doing? Why is he dancing to Bon Jovi? Well, this is not the content I signed up for.
That's when everybody's parents were signing up for Facebook.
You know what we wanted? That is what will kill Facebook eventually.
Mm.
Not everyone's parents, just my dad. Just my dad being on Facebook, angrily shouting at every one of his relatives. Eventually, Facebook are going to see it and go, you know what? This site was a bad idea. Let's just shut it down. Dan's dad's at it again. Look at him. Look at him go.
Just your specific dad is
just my
going
dad
to be the doom.
Starting every sentence, I'm not racist, but... He's not. He's not racist as far as I know.
But.
Well, that's a good point to end, I think. I think we've done all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me, and congratulations. I saw it's your 1 year.
This will be the anniversary
of falling
one.
Forward.
Well, yeah. Weirdly, as well, it falls on Tuesday, which is my birthday. So this is my birthday episode as well. So it didn't even cross my mind till today that I should do some sort of 1 year anniversary episode. But I know what will happen. I'll think about it for weeks, and then it will come out in like September. Yeah, there's the 1 year, like 18 months late.
We finally got it. Got it figured out.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of YouTubers and content creators who promise a thing and then it never transpires. Right, I'm going to stop the recording part so now you can get all your swear words ready and stuff.
All right.
So you can say goodbye. Oh, actually, where can we find you on the internet, Kurt J. Mack?
I'm all over the internet. I have farlandsorbust.com is the main website for the series Farlands or Bust.
Where you can find all the donation links for the charity Pause.
Right, for the current charity Pause to donate to keep the journey going. But I'm everywhere else on the internet at Kurt J. Mack. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube is Kurt J. Mack is where I am.
And Instagram as well.
Instagram is the one strange one. That one's Kurt Indeed.
Oh, is it? I did not notice.
It is.
I did not notice. I just assumed. I got it wrong. But that's. I suppose that's where you keep your spicy nudes and stuff. So,
yeah, obviously the spicy yellow Corollas.
Well, they are spicy.
Well, did you enjoy that conversation? If so, smash that subscribe button and drop a scintillating 5-star review. And don't forget, you can support this podcast directly by hopping over to patreon.com/DanLesac. Enjoy!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hey, there you go. That's it. Episode 31 done, in the bag. Dans le sac, as they say in Portugal. My dumb dad humour will be the death of us all. That was a lovely one. Kurt is genuinely a nice human, and it's part of the reason I chose him to be the first one that I do remotely. Like, I watch him on Twitch and know that he's a nice man, and I just took some of the pressure off. I didn't feel like it was gonna be awkward at any point. He's done so much good stuff. Like, I first heard of Violence or Bust about 3 years ago, maybe. And just, yeah, I put it on every week. It's one of my YouTube weekly things alongside the Gymquisition. But it's such a, I don't know, it's quite a calming experience just watching someone walk for an hour west in Minecraft once a week and just hear about their lives. It's like a vlog, or vlog, I think. Yeah, I hope you all enjoyed that. Did you know what? Being just in my house, like we all are at the moment, I've got very little ramble to do at the end. Yet, I'm always just in my house. Where does the rambling come from? Maybe it's like psychosomatic that I know everyone else is stuck indoors, so it's affecting me. That's got to be worth scientific study. Oh, these outros. I'm toying with the idea of just never having an intro or outro again, because I clearly cannot control the ramble. You know, I can't control it. Maybe I could write a script. Ooh, I could get a team of writers in to write the intros and outros for me. They'd have to do it for exposure, because I'm cheap, you know. But I'm sure some of the people behind, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm or something would want to come on board. I could get their work out to literally tens of people. Yeah, no. Okay, let's end this outro. We'll be back in a fortnight for, I don't know who. There's a German man I would like to talk to. There's a journalist I would like to talk to. And there's an arty man I'd like to talk to. Man or woman? I don't actually know if the artist is a man or woman. I'll have to ask them on the podcast, maybe. So whichever one of those answers my Twitter DM first will be your next guest. Anyway, guys, see you next time. Thank you once again for coming. All over my tits. Thank you once again for listening. All over my tits.